Do you believe that God was intentional when he created this earth and he created everything on this earth and he created man? Do you believe that our God was an intentional God? I believe that. I believe God says what he means and means what he says. Praise the Lord. Today I'd like to speak to you about live intentional for God. Live intentional for God. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verse 25 through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answered, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." You see, folks, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for anything else, if you ask me, when you're loving the Lord with all of your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind. That sounds like God wants us to be intentional. Amen? Amen. Brother, it sounds like my ears are clogged up too here, so I don't know what it is, but I hear an echo. So maybe somebody can work that out. All right, you can be seated here. We all wake up every single morning. We all go to bed every night. At least we should. We all eat. How many like to eat? True apostolics, have I ever seen it? All right, come on. How many like to breathe? We all breathe, right? We all live in houses, I guess. We all have relationships, good or bad. But what ends up happening with all of us is that we take all of these things that we all have and we get into routines. Come on. We get into these routines so often with all these things that we do. And some of our routines involve going to work. Some of our routines involve where we live. Some of our routines involve our families. And then the routines turn into comfort. Those routines turn into safety. And our job, folks, amen, our jobs, they give us money. Right? Those routines, they end up turning into comfort and safety. And so we like our job because it gives us money. We like our friends, amen, because they help remove loneliness and shelter our experiences. We like our families because they give us stability. We like our cars because they give us mobility. And then comfort and safety turn into what we call forgetfulness. I hope you help follow me here today, folks. You see, we forget that everything we have is from God. We forget that we were once completely lost. Amen. We forget that others are suffering sometimes. We become complacent. We become content. And this is a regular pattern. It is not a pattern to feel guilty about, but it is a pattern that we should learn to recognize. Amen. We should learn to acknowledge and then work towards avoiding these things. You see, everything is subject to the risk of falling into a pattern. In the Bible, Israel was constantly falling in and out of this pattern. They would go from slavery to owning slaves. The prophet primarily his primary objective was to shake the people of Israel awake and stop this pattern, to do anything it would take to get out of this pattern. One of the major themes throughout the Bible is remember where you came from. See, God would say, you were once slaves. You were once in need. You were once completely dependent upon me. So don't let your success, don't let your wealth, don't let your power and your comfort right now get to your heads. And of course, we knew that it often would still go to our head. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you." There's that intentional God's plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, if God is intentional in everything that he does with us, folks, shouldn't we be intentional with our relationship with God? Amen? Isn't it easy for us to go through our days with no plan, no purpose, no intentions? We may wake up and lay in bed for an extra hour and get on social media, oblivious to and ignorant of what we have to accomplish in that day. But at the end of the bland and unmotivated day, don't we feel sort of unfulfilled? Folks, every day we waste by being unintentional with God shows us more about our humanity has fallen further and further from our God, amen, from our Creator, a Creator who is by natural intentional. Scripture is clear that our God is an intentional God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made everything to accommodate himself and contribute to his own and his own purpose. Even the wicked are filtered with their role for the day of calamity and evil. Psalms 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. God is an intentional God. Folks, we know that God holds this world and our lives in the palm of his hands. He knitted us together in our mother's womb, the scripture tells us. And before the creation of the universe, God planned to send his son Jesus to save us from our sins. You see, folks, God is intentional. But what exactly does intentionality mean for us as a Christian? What does it mean? You see, intentionality is doing things for a deliberate purpose. Amen. As Christians, we have to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? Our purpose as a Christian is to enjoy God's grace and extend God's glory. Now you may ask, how do you do that, Pastor? I'm going to talk to you. We have to, our purpose as a Christian, enjoy God's grace. Aren't you glad for God's grace today? And then extend God's glory. Now see, when I put it that way, everybody thinks, oh, that sounds great. But wait till I come down on what it's about. Okay? If we seek a relationship with God every day, we are enjoying God's grace. And if we preach the gospel to the lost, we are extending God's glory. Gotcha. You know the story of the little red hen? Huh? Who wants bread? I do. Who wants to help me make it? Not I. When it's all done, smells real good, nice and warm, you put that butter on it, who wants to help me eat it? I do. You see, we like the glory of God. We like his grace. But what about what God asks us to do in extending his glory? Huh? Well, Pastor, I work and then I come home and I do this. I don't have time to do a Bible study. See, if we seek the relationship of God every day, we are enjoying the grace of God. If we preach it, or if we let the world know of the gospel to the lost, we are extending his glory. So, the purpose mirrors the commands to Christ, of Christ to us. In Luke 10, 27, he said, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Intentional, folks, with all of your soul. Intentional, with all of your strength. Intentional, with all of your mind. Intentional, and love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, understanding our need for God's grace and then sharing the gospel is something every Christian should reflect on daily. But that is something harder said than done in the distracting world that we live in. So how can Christians practically live an intentional life for God? Every Christian needs to hear the gospel every day in their lives. This means understanding and realizing we need God's grace every day. We need to submit. There's that word. We need to submit to God every day. Romans 7, 18 and 19. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right. In other words, I would hope I could do what is right, but I cannot perform it. Who's saying this? Huh? Paul is saying, well, Paul of the Bible is saying this? You know what he says? I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are that what I am ever doing. You see, the strength, our relationship with God, and practice our purpose as Christians every day. We must submit to God, and we must understand our own sinfulness. See, Christians must trust God's intentional nature. We have to trust it. We must rely on the goodness and control of God in our life. Come on. We have to rely on God's goodness and his control. See, we don't like those words. We don't like the words control. And we don't like the word submit, stuff like that, folks. But I'm telling you, just like I spoke this morning, if you didn't hear this morning's lesson, you need to hear it, folks. But we have to understand authority of God in our life. Paul's saying, look, on my own, in this flesh, I can't do these things. I want to do good, but I can't. And things that I don't want to do, my flesh wants to do. But unless you understand God's intentional nature, once you learn to rely on God's goodness and God's control in our life, when we submit to God, we are saying that we need him. And when we rely on God, we are saying that we trust his plan for our lives. John 15, 4 through 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Come on, you ever see a branch that's cut off? It'll stay green for a while, and then it'll shrivel all up. It's ugly. But folks, we have to still abide in God. We can do nothing without him, the scripture says. The trust that comes from reliance on God shows that we fully believe our God is intentional and that we are fully devoted to his purpose. Not our purpose, his purpose. You see, when we're devoted to his purpose, our purpose comes along. He said, what's Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things shall be added unto thee. All you guessed, everybody knows that's my favorite verse. You can't go wrong living by that verse. You see, the trust that comes from the reliance on God shows us that we fully believe in our God. We believe that he's intentional about how he wants to bless us, about how he wants to keep us, and that we fully are devoted to the purpose that God has for us. But so often we allow the cares of life to get us away from that. As Paul said, the things I want to do, this flesh, when I rely on this flesh, I don't do it. But the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. We must rely on God because it is him who we seek to glorify. Also, folks, we must act in accordance to the call of his Spirit. We need to do what his word tells us to do. And folks, all of our faith is in vain if we are only hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Well, we could come here service after service after service and hear pastor preach that we need to get involved in the things of God and do the things of God and to do what he's asking us to do and show you in the word what God has called all of us to do. And if you're just hearing it and say, that sounds nice, it's in vain. We need to remind ourselves every day, folks, that there comes a judgment. And God's going to say, why didn't you take this intentionally? James 1:22-25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That scripture is powerful. If you're just a hearer, and you don't do what the word says, you're deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. You know what that scripture's saying? Hey, how many look as ugly as I do in the morning when you wake up? Oh, you ought to see my hair. It sticks up everywhere. You're saying, pastor's hair moves? It does. Ask my beautiful wife. God bless her for loving me anyways. I'm ugly in the morning. Stuff growing on my teeth. My tongue. Blech. But you know what that scripture's saying? If you just walk up to the mirror. Oh, well. Anybody see, you ever see anybody come to work with bedhead? That don't look pretty, folks. That's a person who looked in the mirror and said, bah. It's just work. Ask my wife. I iron my work clothes. T-shirts, blue jeans, everything. I want to look nice. But this scripture is saying, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. In other words, you're saying, God, I hear, but oh well. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, that's what he's saying. Then you are like that man that says, I don't care if I have bedhead. I don't care if stuff's growing on my teeth. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure probably everybody here has a toothbrush. And if not, just stay a little bit away from me when you come and talk to me. At least arm length, okay? Let's put your arm against my arm and we can talk. I'm trying to have a little fun here, but I want to make a point. Folks, we got to do what God asks us to do. So, for he observes himself. That's what the man that sees himself in the mirror says, oh, well, he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Come on, folks. You feel like sometimes you take one step forward and two step back? The scripture says, look, if you continue in the law of liberty, the things that I'm asking you to do, he will be blessed in what he does. So what is that also saying? That person that doesn't care isn't the one that's going to be blessed. Come on, what if you go to work every day? You work hard. And this slob comes in with his bedhead and unbrushed teeth and just slops around and he gets promoted and you don't. Nobody likes that, right? Come on, let's be honest here. Man, you get a little bit boiled. Who does that boss think he is? I come in here, I look nice, I work hard. And look who he blesses. God says, not me. If we take away the good deeds that all our faith produces, we will not be extending God's glory. Now, you could sit here and say, I believe God can do this. And, Pastor, I believe God can do that. And will you pray for this? And we listen, you will not extend God's glory if you don't do what he asks you to do. And if we fail to act on the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our life, what do you say? What is the promptings? The promptings, what you're hearing right now from the pulpit. If you fail to act on the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life, what do you know what it shows? It shows the lack of faith we have by not submitting and relying on God's goodness and control in our life. You see, folks, in other words, if we do not do what his word says, then we do not fully believe it. Oh, you're going to get quiet on me. I'll say it again. If we do not trust, if we do not do what it says and his word says, then we do not fully believe God's word. John Calvin once said, there is no worse screen to block out the spirit than confidence in our own intelligence. You just really, I spoke here a week or so ago about reasoning amongst yourselves. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be a part of this. I don't need to do this. I don't need to, your reasoning. The Bible says you don't fully believe it if you won't do what I ask you to do. If we trust our own minds, we trust our own hearts more than those things of God, we will not be able to see the work of God displayed through our lives. God wants to save your family. God wants to save your loved ones. God wants to save your neighbors. God wants to save your coworkers. God wants to save the people in your atmosphere, folks. But you got to do what God says or you don't believe it. You can sit here and tell us that you're going to believe God to do this and do that, but if you aren't doing what God asked you to do, he said, you don't believe my word. Our purpose, our relationship with God falters if we fail to submit and rely and do. Now, may we know that the best way to become more intentional with our relationship with Jesus Christ is to be willing to conform to his image. I pray, folks, today, I pray that Church of Pentecost would be able to understand that Christ wants to use his people to bring other people to him. I pray that we will know that, of course, it is never us who saves anybody, but that the Holy Spirit working through us, hallelujah, and may that we continue to submit to Jesus Christ and his grace, and may we rely on his goodness and control in our lives. And finally, folks, I pray that we do what his word says and what his spirit calls us to do only for the glory of our God. And see, sometimes if we go through a journey and the twist and the turns, and maybe bad news comes, and maybe you lost your job, maybe bad news comes from a spouse that says they no longer love you and they want out of the relationship. Maybe a family member strung out on drugs, you see, or a scary diagnosis, or a comment from a doctor may turn your world, your life, into a journey that was very much unexpected. Folks, life is full of unexpected journeys. And it comes down to how we handle the journey and what we do in the journey. But as a Christian, as somebody that is following Jesus Christ, or if you're here today and you don't know him, you can follow him. But dependency upon him is what impacts that journey. Hallelujah. You see, while hearing a report that would rock our world, rock anyone's world, it is God's report that I choose to believe today, folks. It is God's report. Hallelujah. Folks, we have to replenish, we have to rebuild, we have to recreate the reservoir of the Word of God in our lives. Not that we are depleted, but there are aspects of our life that needs to be reinforced, that needs to be built upon. And that is, there's always room, folks, understand, there's always room for the Word of God in your life. There's always places for growth for God in your life. And once you get a battle plan and laid out in your life with the Word and with their faith, it becomes unshakable. Isn't it amazing how changing, how adjusting what you hear and what you feed upon can change your fighting stance? Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you focus on in life. It can change you, and you don't even expect it. It's amazing how we grow in areas of our life. As we walk out this journey of fighting the good fight of faith. So how do we fight the good fight of faith? First of all, lift up your head. Hallelujah. You see, if our sight line is only what we are experiencing, that's all we're ever going to see. We got to look up to where our strength comes from, is the song we just sang. Hallelujah. Where my help comes from. I'm not going to focus on the problem all the time. I know who can help me. Lift up your head today, folks. If you're here and you're a little bit down, I want to encourage you to lift up your head. Amen. Change your perspective. How do you change your perspective? Change what you listen to. Intentional. Come on, folks, be intentional. Come on. You see, intentionally turn off the TV and the noise. Come on. There's nothing good on there anyways. Intentionally turn on teaching for the fight of your faith you can currently find yourself in. Intentionally surround yourself with things and people that will speak the Word of God over you and fight you, help you fight your battles and your struggles in prayer. Intentionally do actions with purpose. Do something that matters in life. Refuse to hear anything that speaks contrary to what God says. Folks, God's word is intentional. God is intentional. God is an action with purpose. God, and no matter what the journey is that you find yourself in, God is intentionally working on your behalf. Hear me today, folks. The enemy has been defeated, and the victory is at hand. Come on, you believe that today? Thank God that his word is intentionally acting on my behalf, on your behalf. The journey, this journey that I walk, that you walk, God, let it be filled with opportunities to grow in my faith. Now, I may not know what or how of this journey. I'll say it again. I may not know the what or the how of this journey, but I know the who. Do you know the who today? Come on. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. And if you know the who, you can be intentional when God is walking me through this place of my victory. You see, God helped me intentionally stand upon Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Stand with me. Stand with me here, folks. Listen to me today, folks. I don't think of change and intentional living as a destination. It's all part of your journey. It's not where you're going. It's here with you. See, I'm not making a journey. I got to go get intentionality. No, I'm walking intentionally. Come on. God, we're walking intentional today. We're going to do something for you today, God. I'm walking intentionally every day. Well, Pastor, if there's problems, I don't care. Still walk intentional. Walk through your problem. Come on. You see, folks, when the Israelites walked up to the Red Sea, they looked behind them and saw a problem. They looked in front and saw a problem. But you know what? They walked intentional. When they stepped out in that water. Hallelujah. And what did God do, folks? Hallelujah. They intentionally walked through that problem. Here come their problem behind them. And they intentionally walked out of that problem. And God covered another problem. I don't care what we're going through today. I want to know if there's some apostolics that intend on being intentional. Do you intend on being intentional? You see, folks, it's intentional is a part of the journey. Everything you do along the way matters. Everything you do along the way contributes to the result. You see, it doesn't matter whether intentional living for you means striving for a purpose greater than yourself or finding joy in the small things and reflecting back to everyone around you. It doesn't matter. Or maybe you're looking for both. But it is your life. It is your life. And you have to choose. I am going to live intentional. Come on. How many? Come on, folks. It takes courage to live intentionally for God. And what matters, here's what matters, is deciding what you are doing and your purpose, not just going where life is taking you. Come on. There's too many people in this world today allowing life to just throw them all over the place. We're ever going to be a light to this world. They need to see somebody with courage that says, I'm going to stand for what is right. I'm going to be intentional. Life, you could try to knock me around, but me and Jesus, we are intentional. We are intentional. Life, folks, live life intentional for God.